If you're like me, you need to stay on top of what's working in events today. Whether it's your first time or you've been doing events for years, we don't want to repeat the mistakes of the past. We want to know what's working today. And to that end, I encourage you to check out Bold Push Plus. It's brought to you by Julius Solaris. He is one of the top voices and researchers in the events industry. Go to filmrashawn.com/boldpush, and that'll take you to a page that tells you more about it, and you can apply. If you would, put the name Phil and who referred you. That'll give me a little bit of money to keep this show going. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Events Innovator Show, where we explore the ideas and strategies that are transforming events. Get ready to unlock the secrets to creating extraordinary experiences. And now, here's your host, Phil Michon.
Welcome, everybody, to another week of the Event Innovator Show. I'm excited to have Carrie Watson on the show. She is a senior vice president with Westland Insurance up in Canada. We met at a conference in December up in Toronto, and we had a great conversation there where I found out she runs this event called the Westland Insurance Leadership Summit. And she's been responsible for it for like 4 or 5 years. And I thought it was really intriguing. I thought you guys as an audience would love to hear the insider track on what's going on there. So Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Phil. I'm really glad to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to see you as well. So talk about this summit. I know you came into it after been going for a few years, but describe what this summit is all about. What's the purpose, and give us a little bit of the history.
Happy to. Yes, exactly. When I came in, it was already a tradition at Westland. And so I was happy to be able to perpetuate that. And so just a little bit about the history of Westland. We started as a small regional brokerage in Western Canada. And from those roots, that's really where we grew a lot in the province of British Columbia. And now we've acquired a lot of different brokerages and moved all across Canada. So with the origins of the summit, it was quite a small group. They all were familiar with each other, and it was a blend of really business-focused content, but also a retreat element of that as well. And as we've grown so significantly, especially in the last 5 years since I've joined, when I started, we had about 120 locations and 1,200 employees. And now we have almost 300 locations and over 3,500 employees. So the organization has changed quite a bit. And we've really tried to make sure that we're preserving that founder culture and the warmth of our founding family. And so that's something that with a rapidly evolving organization and new people coming in all the time, isn't necessarily that easy to do. And so we've pivoted a little bit to be more business focused with a little bit of a less emphasis on the retreat component. It scaled up to about 400 participants, but we really want to stay true to those roots of making everyone feel welcome and helping them feel connected to Westland's culture, which we feel is really special.
Yeah, it's a really interesting use of an event to build culture within a company. So many of the people I talk to and help are doing an event for people outside of their company. Like they're trying to draw people in for business, or they just want to serve an industry. But perpetuating and informing people about a culture is a great use of events. You mentioned that it's shifted to more of a business focus versus the retreat focus. How does the business part still build the culture?
I would say it really helps our leaders to stay aligned to the important elements of Westland, because we have so many locations and we have a lot of people who are new to Westland. So they may have just joined us in the last year as Westland purchased the brokerage that they worked at, or they may have been the brokerage owner before. And so we thought it was really important that we're including a lot of those elements for people to understand the organization that they're now part of. So they might be used to just being one office that, you know, you look around and you can see everyone that you work with and that you tend to interact with. And now having to really figure out, how do I tap into this larger corporation that I'm part of? We wanted to make sure that we're giving them all the information that they need on where Westland's headed, where the industry is headed, how they can access different colleagues to really expand value within their own teams. and how they can align to our strategic objectives. And so that's why we felt like that business component really is critical. And because we have so many new people all the time, of course, we have a lot of people who are, you know, haven't even heard that message once before. So we think it's important to keep that going. And then for them to really to be able to spend time with their colleagues that, again, they probably haven't met before, but to feel part of that connected family of Westlawn employees across Canada.
Yeah, you talked about a 3x growth over just the last 5 years since you've been there, which that, you know, when you're acquiring companies, that has a profound impact on both cultures, right? And you're wanting that Absolutely. New company to come into your culture. I imagine you don't have just the one touch a year with a leadership summit. Like you've got to be doing more than that to promote the culture. What are you doing?
Yes, well, absolutely. We try our best. So we have a really strong communication strategy around that as well. We've got a lot of internal branding around how our organization communicates with each other. And we have a newsletter that goes out every couple of weeks that showcases people across the country. But then we do try to make sure that our leadership team is getting out and actually visiting our offices, understanding what's going on in each of our local communities, and really giving a chance for our employees to interact with senior leaders as much as we can. Of course, it's hard to hit 300 locations for any one of the leaders, but we have a really approachable executive team. And so I think that's something that really resonates with people when they come to the summit, is that chance to interact with them and see how low-key, laid back, approachable, and just really warm our executive team is. And so we love when they can also visit our offices in person so that people can have that direct experience and really feel what it's like to be part of Westlawn.
Yeah, I was watching the videos that you shared with me from your last two conferences, and it did not feel like an insurance company. you guys were having a party, and if someone only saw that, they would think this isn't an insurance company. They're having way too much fun, and insurance is like, that should be like buttoned up, and everyone is just like really focused and detail oriented, and seems like you are trying to build a different kind of culture.
Absolutely. Insurance really is a people business. And so we do have quite a few leaders that, although, you know, we do lean toward that financial acumen side sometimes, when we look at our branch managers across Canada, they tend to have a people focus for sure. But it doesn't have a good reputation as an industry for being really fun. That's for sure. And so one of my favorite parts is our party at the very end of it all, where you probably saw that in the videos, where almost everyone dresses up. And I always tell new people, like, there's a dress up part at the end, and people actually do dress up. So, like, please don't be shy about bringing a costume, because it's going to happen. You're going to see our CEO with neon or something crazy, and you want to be wearing a costume as well. And so it is definitely part of our branding and our culture overall. We don't want to be the kind of stuffy insurance provider. We want people to feel like we're very approachable, and you can ask us anything about, you know, insurance is kind of an intimidating subject that people maybe are a little shy to admit they don't really understand well when they're talking to their insurance broker. We definitely expect that, and we want people to just feel really comfortable with us and feel like we're welcoming them into our branches. And so that's kind of the vibe that we're trying to establish with our culture overall as well. And I would just say too, that when someone joins Westlawn, I always tell them, like, you're going to find that everyone's really friendly and helpful, and they really want the company to do well, and they'll really want you to do well. And I'm sure people are like, okay, that's just part of your sales pitch when I'm saying that. And I've had so many people come back to me after to say, you know what, it really is true. I am really finding that, and it's just such a nice place to work. So I really love seeing that come through in the events that we do, but also in that experience that our employees have every day.
Yeah. So you've talked about how they get a sense of it being, you know, relaxed and informal and we're relational. What other things that do you want to communicate, especially to people who've been acquired, people who are new to the company, that you set the stage for at the conference?
We always kick off with our CEO speaking. And so I think that gives people a real sense for the scale of the company and just all of the different components that they might not have been aware of because we have so many different operations across the country and a few unique pieces that even if people have been part of Westland for a couple of years, if they may not even know that we have some of the capabilities that we do. So we like to really give a sense of what's going on in the industry so that people are tuned into that and what we see happening with Westland. And then really that just that scope of our operations and where our strategic focus will be. And our CEO is really very relatable. So people always love that session. He'll usually, throw a few stories in about his family or things that he's done personally. And so it's a chance for people to get to know Jamie a little bit more if they haven't had a chance to talk to him personally. And then kicks off in a nice way where people feel like they can, come up to him through the rest of the event and have a chat if they want to. And we also have an executive Q&A session where, again, we're kind of showcasing the personalities of our executive as well as giving people a chance to ask those questions that they might have and learn more about the company. And so those pieces I think are really important for the foundation setting and kind of the strategic piece. And then we'll usually choose a few different areas of focus that are really timely, where maybe we want to emphasize certain business results or knowledge base or things that are happening in the industry and make sure that we include those as well.
Excellent. That's really good. I love the fact that you're making leadership approachable, which sounds like that's the culture that you want to set. I'm guessing as you've grown and you've got more and more, brokerages that are part of the family, as you describe it, that there's got to be some like mentoring or connections that are happening in the network as opposed to only from the leadership team. How would you promote that at this summit?
That is such a great question, Phil, because we've tried a few different things, and I'm not sure any one of them works perfectly. We definitely do want that collaboration and for people to meet in person so that they feel like they can trust each other to work on business deals together and things like that for sure. And so we have had some great successes come from the summit where people get into a bit of a chat and they realize, oh, I'm a commercial broker. I have this business client. They don't have any benefits insurance. And now I'm talking to a benefits broker that I wouldn't have otherwise really known to talk to. And they identify those opportunities together, or they might identify an industry that one of them is expert in and can help with supporting their clients or pursuing deals. So it does happen. And so a certain amount of that is really just the participants choosing to put themselves out there. So we do encourage that, but we've also experimented with assigned seating and some of those more scheduled interactions with people. And we always get a mix of reactions to that where people mostly say they want to hang out with their friends, but then once they do meet other people, I feel like they see the value in that. So it's always a bit of a struggle to find that sweet spot of how much do you kind of, I don't want to say force that, but schedule that interaction with people that you might not otherwise know versus have people feel like, they can hang out with people who are familiar or that they themselves pursue that networking. So last year, we really did put an emphasis in our pre-event briefing on making sure you're thinking about before you get there, who are five people that you would want to meet. And so we had our leaders convey that, our senior leaders convey that to their teams to say, you know what, Westland's investing quite a bit of money in this because we think that it's a great event and that it will be helpful to you, but also that there's business value in it. And one of those elements of value is for you to get to see people that you otherwise wouldn't run into in your regular day. And so think about who are those five key connections that you'd like to make during the event so that there's a bit of intention behind that networking component once they're there.
Do they have a way with some kind of network or group that you have internally to figure out who those five people are, or how would they decide who to meet with?
That is a great question. I would say we don't, but now it's got me thinking that we need to do more of that so that people can find each other. We try to showcase different elements of our business that might be lesser known through our internal communications, but we know that not everybody always sees those. Also through our town halls and leader updates, we really try to make sure that, as an example, let's say our benefits practice, that those people are having an opportunity to speak about the types of work they can do or success that they've seen, or our private client team or group insurance teams that our brokerage offices might not know exist otherwise. So we do try to showcase them internally that way, but I'm sure we could be doing a better job of that.
Well, I've got lots of ideas for you, but we'll save that maybe for later. You mentioned you've been part of it 5 years. It's probably been going at least 5 years longer than that. From your point of view, we won't worry about what happened before you because you weren't there. How has the event grown and progressed? What kinds of things have you seen happen over those 5 years?
It's definitely, it has adapted quite a bit even since I've been around. And so I would say, you know, I mentioned before, just really having more business content is certainly one of those pieces. And also making sure that we're really aware of the people who are new to Westland and new to the event, and establishing our senior leadership team as ambassadors and hosts has been really important. So that, I think it was happening somewhat intuitively before, but we've put a bit more of a focus on kind of that new attendee experience as well. And just in the last year, something that evolved a little bit more significantly was that instead of just having our Westland leaders there exclusively, we introduced an element of sponsorship where our key partners can participate in the conference as well. They can sponsor different levels of sessions and interactions through trade shows or dinners with our team, and participate in the summit as well, and have that access to all of our Canadian leaders at one time, which of course is helpful to them because otherwise they're trying to catch up to them at different times and all across the country. So they've got our leadership team all in one spot. They have an opportunity to share some of their expertise and their business plans with us, and then to have some casual interactions as well. And so last year, that was a really big pivot for us to incorporate that sponsorship element. And then, of course, I don't have to tell you that's a whole other set of logistics when you have sponsors and external presenters and all of that.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute, because one of the challenges of sponsors speaking is they end up doing sales pitches, and all the other stuff that you're doing and talking about is really just selling your culture, which isn't a sales pitch. It's like, hey, mm-hmm. this is who we are. We know you joined us because you like who we are, but we want you to know this is legit who we are. But sponsors are harder to control that way because they want to sell. How do you manage yes. that?
They can be. In our case, I think we're somewhat fortunate that they're close business partners of ours. So they're teams that we know well already. And so we're able to have a pretty open discussion with them around what we'd like that content to be. And also they're quite willing to take that guidance as well. So it's something that we were very particular about, was that it didn't become that sales pitch, because it also would feel really repetitive, I think. So they might not have had the impact they would be hoping for if every company that's coming does a similar thing. Our audience is going to lose interest. And so we didn't feel like it would help them show up how they wanted to either. But also for our audience, we felt like the really critical value that they could provide to us as far as the session presentations, if they chose that level of sponsorship, was to share their expertise in something that would help to level up the expertise of our teams so that they could tell better stories to their clients or be aware of industry trends or really, you know, learn something technical, or maybe it's something about improving their sales skills or their leadership skills. And so it was the sponsor bringing that content to us as an expert and then telling us a little bit about the company at the end for maybe 10 minutes, but not really focusing on that as the core part of their messaging. And they were really, I would say for the most part, very adaptable on that. So we had several meetings with each of the presenters to make sure that they we're kind of hitting on the points that we felt would land with our audience the best. And also then the trick is to not give everyone a similar topic too. So that took a little bit of extra legwork to make sure that what they were speaking about is something they're comfortable with, but also that it's not duplicating another presenter's content. So lots of discussions to really make sure that that got sorted out.
Yeah, and that's the stuff all of us try to manage is putting on events is how do you make sure these are complimentary sessions as opposed to redundant. Are the sponsors people that are doing business with you already and maybe some of the brokerages don't know they're there as a resource? And so that's the benefit to the sponsors to have exposure to all of the brokerages to say, hey, here's a resource. Here's someone with this expertise. We are already using them. We endorse them. Is that kind of what's happening?
A lot of them are our insurance companies that we work with directly. So it is about showcasing what insurance products and what appetite they have so that our brokers can place business with them and really to understand that better and build those relationships out. So certainly there would be lots of previous employees of other brokerages who have joined Westland who may not have interacted with those markets before, so they might not have as much awareness, or they might not have realized some of the particular details of maybe products that they were going to introduce. And so it does end up being really valuable in that sense for both sides, really. So the carriers can have more people at Westland understanding what their appetite is and placing more business with them. And then also that our brokers feel like they have a good understanding of all of the products and resources that are available to them.
That's great. All right. I know you guys are numbers oriented, you're finance oriented as a company. So what are your KPIs? How do you know if the event has been successful?
That is our survey, really. And so that as well as there will be some different levers that we are looking to pull on. And so I would say, I'm sorry to disappoint Phil, but it's not going to be the numbers that, and I'm a chartered accountant really as my first career. So you'd think I'd have more numbers around that. But what we really look at is that feedback on how we can be better or what people really enjoyed and the value they took away, as well as, for example, one of the things that we were looking to really drill in our last conference was financial acumen. And so then it becomes a little bit more anecdotal hearing back from our leaders how, you know, whether they're seeing the improved interest or the improved skills from their team, and trying to continue those learning paths as well. So we like to make sure that it's not just the only time that those people ever hear that message. It may be sort of the kickoff of repetitive messaging or learning and development plans that we have internally as well. So I hate to disappoint Phil, but no, we don't have them.
Well, and I get it. I mean, even the industry standards are things like an NPS, Net Promoter Score, which is irrelevant for your event, but maybe there's some equivalent, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5 or 1 to 10, mm-hmm. Measuring how was the content, how was the overall experience, you know, that kind of thing.
That's what we really look at for sure is the ratings. We have overall impressions, but then for each session, we ask for a rating and feedback that's open-ended. So definitely we look to that. And then that helps to inform what we do the next time as well. With the sections that are really popular, of course, we continue those on. And the ones that maybe didn't land quite as well, then we know we need to reconsider those. So that's why we know that everyone loves Jamie's session at the beginning and they love hearing from our executives because those consistently come out on top as people's favorite sessions.
Yeah, that's great. How much coaching are you doing with internal people on their sessions?
Oh, quite a bit. Absolutely. If we've got someone internal who's presenting, then we're looking for them to be quite prepared and to present that to us in advance as well. And so we do want to make sure that everyone's, of course, sticking to their time, which you'll be very empathetic to. But sometimes once people get that mic, they're just not watching the clock too much. So we really want to make sure that they're hitting their allotted time as well. And I don't know that we had this before, but last year we This is a basic thing for most event organizers, although people who are new to it, I highly recommend doing this on your first time. Have the clock at the foot of the stage that tells
Oh,
how
yeah.
much time is left in that session. It really does help the person who's presenting because otherwise they don't have a great sense of time. So that countdown clock is really, it's a value to your presenter, but it's also, and I'm the MC for this event, very helpful to your MC so they don't have to try to signal some other way that the time is coming to a close. And so that was really helpful in our last summit to make sure that that was very prominently placed in front of the stage. And everyone did observe and run on time, so I appreciated that a lot.
Just an added note, have a redundancy plan if that clock goes out. One of the things we do is we just have some paper cards in the front row saying you've got 10 minutes left, 5 minutes left, 2 minutes left, you're done, and then the crook comes on stage and pulls them off. But it
That's a great
happens. Like
idea.
someone forgets to press the start button. It's
Right.
supposed to happen at the AV team or someone up front like you, the MC, and they forget. Then all of a sudden you're like, I don't know how much time I have left. And they start asking the audience, which is one of the worst things to do, because now the audience is
Yes.
thinking about how much time is left, which you don't want them to be
Exactly.
thinking that way.
Exactly. The
So
other thing we prep on, sorry, Phil, just
now go.
one other angle of that. The other thing we prep on. And especially this last time, what, and I mentioned a little bit before, is our senior leaders really being hosts. And so in the last round of the summit where we had our sponsors coming in who are valued partners of ours as well, we assigned one of our VPs to each of those stakeholders to be their ambassador for the whole event. So they were responsible for checking in with them in advance, making sure they had everyone's cell numbers, that they're sponsor knew all of the details of how they were intending to participate, and they had all the information in advance that we got copies of the presentations on time. And then once they were on site, that was their key person who then made sure that they hosted them specifically, welcomed them, gave them confidence of what they needed to do and how they needed to participate. And that we got really good feedback on that from our sponsors in terms of, I guess the level of, that they felt very hosted, but also it helped them with their confidence of knowing where to be and when and all the elements they were intending to participate in.
That's fantastic. I think that's a step in the right direction for the networking that you talked about. Because if you've got someone hosting and then going the next level and saying, Carrie, you need to meet these three people because I know what you're trying to do and where you're trying to grow. You may not know them yet. If you've got some people like that, that's like one of my big tips is find those people who love connecting people and empower them to just go make it happen. And those are ideally the people hosting. And I get it that job title might influence that to some degree, but also just personality can be a big deal. So I've got a
Absolutely.
concern for your event. And I don't know that this is a concern, but I have a
Uh-oh.
concern because when you go to a conference and you get a lot of knowledge, a lot of information, it can end up being the proverbial fire hose and none of it sticks. It's just like the duck, the water flows off and it's not there anymore when they get back to the office, which is terrible for you because you guys are
Yes.
making a big investment in this. I imagine it's, $1 million. I don't know. You don't have to tell me the budget, but it's a lot of money. So how do you ensure that it's not that there is transformation that happens with the things that they're learning?
It's something that we do put quite a bit of intention into. So the culture building part of it is sort of an intangible and it tends to flow. But definitely with the business focus component, we're really intentional in working with our corporate communications team and collaborating with our learning and development leaders on how do we maybe introduce some of those concepts before we even get to summit so that people have heard about it before. Then at the summit, we're focusing on that content. And then what are the follow-ups that happen after for certain segments, or what is the continuing learning plan? So we've had a mix of different things. I would say somewhere that's the kickoff to a new methodology, let's say for our change management teams. And so we're introducing that, but then we reinforce it through the programming of our change team. Or we've had different programming like that where our learning and development teams then pick up on that and offer it as a consistent course that we have, or other situations where there's a follow-up exercise that our senior leaders hold people accountable to. So I do think it's an area we can still strengthen, because we're maybe not explicit with every single element of it. And I totally agree that, you know, there's a lot of value in getting together, but the lasting value is the continuity of really reinforcing that, and making sure that learning or understanding has taken place. And so definitely something we could build on going forward as well.
Now, if I'm honest, when I go to a conference, the biggest value I get is meeting someone like you. You know, someone that I know I want to continue a conversation with. And I imagine even at an internal event like that, a few people that you feel connected to that you can call upon, like that information and knowledge, yes, you've got to do it and you got to help the organization grow. But the thing that's going to help people stay is a sense of connection and knowing who are the people that can support me and I can encourage as I go along. And now I don't feel so isolated in my
For
job,
sure.
Because maybe your role in the brokerage is not the leader, or maybe it is, but you're like, who else is like me? Who can I call when I'm facing this challenge? So it seems like both and probably.
For sure. I would say that's certainly something that persists. And also where, let's say, a branch manager might come back to the team and have a little bit different just emotional feeling toward Westland, of feeling more connected, and then they can convey that to their team as well. They can kind of become that ambassador of what that culture is. So I feel like that's one of our biggest takeaways, really, is helping people feel more connected, but also that they now feel part of that and they can convey that to other people. We did have a great example, I feel, in the last summit, where one of my teams was, we were just starting it up as a national team for our high net worth personal lines clients. And so it involved moving some business over from branches and then also pursuing that new business and looking for referrals from our commercial advisors. And so there was a real need for that team to know pretty much everyone in the company, and they didn't yet because it was a new team and we had just established that. So that was one of the teams that we showcased, and we had a couple of our advisors who have just a great depth of experience in the field presenting and talking about how they work with clients, what their expertise is, some of the situations they've seen over the years. And they've had so many people reach out to them after the fact. They talked to a lot of people during the conference. They really were able to establish a lot of great relationships during the event. But now they're kind of famous for being the face of private client, and they still get calls from people because of that event. So it was a good example where that really did happen.
That's fantastic. And I love that you were aware of that need within the organization and showcased it. And now it becomes a resource for people that they didn't know about. So every event that's been around 10 years has reached a point at some point in time where it starts to just become the same old, same old. You're tempted just to rinse and repeat, do what we did last year with maybe a few new wrinkles, and it starts to not feel the same. You know, and you're facing the fact that you've got a lot of new people at the event every year, but it still can be like that as a planner. It's like, man, it's just easier because you've got, I think you've got like a plethora of other things that you're in charge of. So this isn't your only responsibility. So how has that been true? And is that, if you has, how have you overcome that?
I think we always have a mix of people who like the routine and they like knowing what they are signing up for, and they want us to do the same thing again because it feels familiar, versus people that feel like it's boring. And so we've definitely experienced that with the evolution of having more of a retreat element and then migrating to more of a business content, where it's really mixed reactions around the kind of fun events that we had, or the activities that we had, where some people were really upset when we had less of that, and others, they weren't interested in that anyway. Like, don't take me away from my desk if you're just going to get me to go hang out with people doing some activity I didn't want to sign up for. So there's been a real mix over time. And we do really, I think, try to hit that blend of including the elements of having something really cool the first night that grabs people's attention, having those core elements of Jamie and our CEO and then our executive team presenting, but then get maybe some more interesting or different formats of content in some of the other sessions. We always have a community giving element. We always have that costume party at the end. And so some of those familiar elements, but then really thinking about, okay, how can we mix this up based on, especially based on people's feedback? And so especially with switching to the sponsors last year, then that introduced a trade show element. So people got to get up and move around a little bit more. They got to interact with our carrier partners and our other sponsors. And so that probably felt like enough of a change. And so we're just in planning stages for our next round where we think we'll actually extend that a little bit and maybe have the dinner that where we invite our sponsors to have that have a slightly different format, maybe a little bit more casual because we're headed to Whistler next year and we were in Toronto last time. So, you know, it's a little bit more of a laid back town, kind of a ski resort, kind of woodsy kind of element there. So we'll probably match that a little bit as well with how we pull that off. So it's a really great question. And I feel like it's always a bit of a conundrum because you don't want to change it up so much that people go, what? I liked what we used to do. Right. But I do think it gets stale if you don't switch up at least a little bit of it from year to year.
Give me a sense, what percent of people each year are new? They've never been to this summit.
Last time it would have been a bit higher. I would say it was probably 10 to 15%, maybe even a little, maybe 20, because we've expanded our corporate roles as well. Okay. So next time, probably a little bit lower because we haven't acquired as many brokerages lately, maybe closer to, maybe that 10 mark, but.
Okay. But that's a high enough percent of familiar people that are expecting that. And I would think in your industry, particularly, that having some sense of comfort is important. And I would say for change management, you've got to start in a place where people know what's happening before you introduce the change. Generally speaking, unless your name's Tony Robbins and you do it right out of the gates, but generally speaking, and people know even there, they're coming for change. So where they don't know that when they're coming to your summits, I'm guessing that's right. Like, oh, we're going to do what we did last year and get caught up and see my friends and all that. And then you come out of left field and say, wham.
Exactly. Well, I would say too, that there's, that would be the percentage of people who have never been to a summit. But if you try to look at how many people have been to more than three summits, that would be a pretty small number. So people maybe haven't had a chance to get tired of it quite yet overall, because we do have so many new people.
Yeah. Yeah. If we go back 3 years, then you probably have what, 40, 50% who are new?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Or more.
Yeah. That's a great point. By the way, Whistler, I think I'm hearing some lumberjacks in your future.
We were thinking about that actually. That's one of the themes, wearing a lumberjack shirt.
Why not?
I've come up with what I think the costume party is going to be, but I haven't quite, I've done a little focus group on it. I keep asking people for feedback on it, but I haven't really revealed it yet. I'm pretty excited about it.
You don't need to hear, even though probably no one from your company will hear this. You don't need it out there in the internet. What's something you've done at one of the summits that you've been part of that people said that's the most memorable thing you've ever done?
I would say there's a bit of competition for that. I would say that people really loved our boat cruise when we were in Vancouver. We had quite a few people who had not been to Vancouver before. And so that was a great kickoff to the event, is to, we got a huge boat and got to do a harbor cruise. And I think people were just a little bit surprised at how fancy it was, really. And maybe a runner up to that too was we Now I'm going to name a couple. Sorry, I'm having
That's
trouble
fine.
thinking of which one's most memorable. The Vancouver Aquarium, we hosted our dinner there one evening. And so that was really quite an experience because we could take over the whole aquarium with branding. And we were eating dinner. Well, we were eating salmon right beside fish tanks. I don't know. That might be memorable for the wrong reason for some people. And we had performers that were kind of mixing around the room. And then I also heard a lot of great feedback. Last year, we had our opening event at the Hockey Hall of Fame. And so people got to get a picture taken with the Stanley Cup. And they really loved that as well. So I would say those are maybe some of the top moments, which are, not related at all to the content. Happily, a couple of those were the very first thing that people experienced at the event. So I feel like it gives that great impression right off the start. People get to, I think also people are surprised that at those events, they're like, oh, I went up and I talked to one of our EVPs and they were so friendly and they were really fun. And so they get a good feeling for the event before it even starts, really.
Yeah, I love that. First impressions are really important. And I'm not surprised that the three things you talked about are more party oriented or experience oriented as opposed to sessions. I feel like in a session, you would have to do something really out of the box for people to remember that. Otherwise, it is going to be some other kind of experience. So, not
Yeah,
surprised
the costume
whatsoever.
party too. There
Sure.
actually the Vancouver costume party was a bit outrageous because people dressed up as their favorite musical performer and it was impressive. The we had one person that was new to the conference dress up as Slash with a huge hat and the wig and everything, and then lots of group costumes of different bands and things like that. It was really over the top. So that was another highlight for sure.
Well, because you're talking about music, it's a great transition into moving into what I call the signature sign-off. I don't need your words, but I want to hear your words. Like, what are three things that stand out from this conversation here today? If you want, make them emotional or descriptive, whatever they might be.
I'd say hype. I love creating some hype and some energy for the event, and warmth. And then I would say family. We love that people feel like they're part of the Westland family at our particular event. So those would be the three that stand out to me. And then can I have a bonus word just as a tip for anyone who
Of course.
gets to do this? Pre-keying. Please pre-key as much as you can at the hotel. The registration experience is just so much smoother. That's something that we've done the last couple of years, and we would never want to go back unless the hotel wouldn't agree to it. But being able to welcome people with a registration package and their hotel key is just right in there is the
Wow.
bomb.
That's smooth or makes, yeah, makes that process a lot smoother when people check in. That's amazing. I didn't
So
know hotels would do that. All right. Well, we're going to
pre-keying.
go to my signature sign off. We're going to need to change a couple knobs here. Just so you, if you're listening, this is the track that comes from one of the promo or sizzle reel videos from the conference or the summit that we're talking about here today. So if you go look up the 2023 event, you will notice the track, and I'm just going to play over the top of it.
That's amazing. What a talent.
Oh, thank you so much. What a great
track. That is so incredible.
Link to that video because it will give you a great sense of what the event is all about. Focuses a little bit more on the fun. You don't get to hear the content and the business side, but that's awesome. Carrie, it's great to have you on the show. Where would you want people to connect with you if they're interested in following you or asking more questions?
LinkedIn would be perfect. And so do you have the show notes where you'll be able to link to that?
Yes.
Fantastic. That would be the best way. Be happy to speak with anyone who's interested in having a chat about events. It's something I'm really passionate about for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for being on the show. It's been a pleasure.
So great to chat with you, Phil. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Event Innovator Show. Connect with Phil on philmachon.com and be sure to subscribe and never miss an episode.